Production. Recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 62 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about GeoWoodstock 6 review. I want to remind everyone we are live and you can call in 724-444-7444 and our TalkCast ID is 7525. If you are in our chat room or you want to be in our chat room, you can go to geocachingpodcast.info and you can click the Join Now to Participate button. And our show notes can also be found at geocachingpodcast.info. If you want to have anything to put into our topic tonight, go ahead and hit the Request to Talk button if you're in our chat room. If not, we've got a new feature. You can hit star 8 or star T on your keypad of your phone, and that will also put you in the Request to Talk queue. I see we've got a couple people tonight who've been on, who went to the geocaching, the GeoWoodstock. And so I'll get everyone unmuted when we get down to the discussion point. But first, Daryl, welcome back. It's been a few weeks. You weren't here with us last week, so how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. We had a nice Memorial Day weekend. Took a couple of extra days off to go out to GeoWoodstock. Unfortunately, you weren't able to do it, so what were you doing this weekend?
Well, pretty much we just kind of took it easy. Jules had to work most of the nights. But during the day, though, we had Sunday we had a family reunion type, not really a reunion, but more of just a picnic. And so we went to that. And then afterwards, my parents were up from the central Indiana area. So I said, hey, you want to hit a geocache that has been bugging me because I've DNF'd it about six times. Well, okay, I've DNF'd it once, but I've tried to find it about six times. And I had to DNF it, went back, and we actually found it. So it's got taken off of our DNF list. So that was really good because, like I said, it's like 2 miles from my house. Well, it's a little more than that, but it's not very far, and I have been trying to get it off the list and trying to get it off the list, and every time I've been, you know, I went by myself a couple of times, I went with the family a couple of times, went in the spring, went in the fall, went in the winter, summer, nothing helped me, you know, it always seemed to elude me until this last week, so I'm pretty proud of getting that one off my list.
Yeah, it's always nice to get those off the list and off those GPX files, you know, because those, you hate to have that extra cache in your pocket query that you know that you should be getting.
You do. I mean, you know that it should be an easy one. This is in a cemetery. The thing, well, not, it's just past the cemetery. They had like a forest behind it, and the problem with it was that there's a bunch of trash back in this little forest area. So actually, the first time I went to go find it, there actually was a Tupperware container back there, and I went to open it, and there was like nasty food and stuff in there, and it's actually still sitting there, even though it's been like a year and a half since I tried to find it the first time. But yeah, so it was definitely a tough one, but it was good to get it off our list.
Sounds like that's a cemetery that needs some CETO.
It does, and it's kind of crazy because there's a trash can that's like right outside the woods right there. You'd think that people could just put their beer bottles and things in there, but guess not.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, we've discovered that doesn't usually work. Convenience of trash cans doesn't mean that you're not going to get litter everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. So tell us, did you have anything interesting that happened at Woodstock that you want to tell us about a little bit before? I mean, anything, or we want to get into our news topic?
Yeah, well, we did hit our 1,500th cache find during Geo Woodstock. You know, originally we had kind of hoped, it was a long shot, but we had hoped to make GeoWoodstock number 1,500. That didn't work, so we decided to go out caching for a little bit during GeoWoodstock so that we could make the CoinFest, or GeoCoin Swap Meet, actually, our 1,500th find. Well, you know how you just kind of start caching, and you get to that next cache, and it's like, well, there's one right there. Let's just get that one, too. Well, so
yeah.
Our 1,500th ended up being like a telephone pole cache just because it was right there. You can't pass it up, you know?
You can't pass those up.
So, you know, by the time we got back, we had 1,537 finds. And we actually did at least, I want to say our minimum was about 8 caches each of the 5 days that we headed out that way. And that was a lot of fun. And when we went out, we had an 8-hour layover in Denver and met up with the hosts of the Centennial State Geocaching Podcast, Art and Karen. And Karen, when we were out caching with them, hit her 100th find. And that was a blast. We really enjoyed getting out and caching with them. So, you know, great time all around.
It sounds like it. And then congratulations on your 1500th. And congratulations to Karen on her 100th find, too. So with that, that brings us to our news section of the podcast. We want to follow up a little bit on the unsafe plastics. Last week, we kind of talked a little bit. Geek Boy had brought it up, and he wasn't quite sure on the numbers. So we've got a link that I'll go ahead and put in our show notes. But the main thing you want to do is check the recycling number that's on the bottom of your bottle. If it is a number 2 HDPE, that's a high-density polyurethane, or a number 4 LDPD, low-density polyurethane, or a number 5 PP, just polypropylene, your bottle's fine. But the type of plastic bottle in which the water is usually sold is a number 1, and that's recommended for only one-time use. So don't go ahead and fill your bottle back up if you go and buy it at the store, if it's just a one-time bottle use. General rule of thumb is that it does always apply. So manufacturers such as Nalgene and Camelback products always use plastics without BPA, and so they're safe. So that's a number 7. So you should be good with those. That brings us to our Geo Woodstock topic. I'm really jealous, Daryl, because I didn't get a chance to go to Geo Woodstock, but we've got a couple people, as well as yourself, on the phone tonight. We've got I Am Frog and Steph and Dan, who did get a chance to make it out to the Geo Woodstock. It was May 24th in Wheatland, California, and it's just outside of Sacramento, on Bishop's Pumpkin Farm, and it was hosted by the River City Geocaching and Dining Society and the North State's Unusual Treasure Seekers. So, you guys, you want to, Daryl, you want to kick us off a little bit and tell us a little bit about it, what I missed, what the rest of us who didn't get a chance to go, what we missed?
Sure. Well, there's actually really a series of 5 events, so it went down for more than just the one day. It kind of kicked off on Thursday with the early bird special meet and greet, which I unfortunately didn't have a chance to go to because we flew in and the plane didn't get in until like an hour late. Then we had the Friday night meet and greet, which we definitely hit, and we'll talk about these in a little while. The Saturday Geo Woodstock event, and then following Geo Woodstock, there was a GeoCoin swap meet. So you had 2 events in one day. And then if you were there through Monday, there was a Thanks for the Memories event. And a few people also had some other events thrown in there. Now, I know I met up with I'm Frog 2002, and we went caching, actually, during the Friday night meet and greet, and that was a fun event. You want to give us some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was about the meet and greet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was great, because there was about, I didn't get an actual number, but I guess around 600 cachers there, and just a lot of fun getting to meet everybody, get an early start on all the bingo game and all that was going on. Plus, there were a lot of caches in the area, so made it a lot of fun to go out caching with Daryl and hit those.
Yeah, we did have a chance to try a few of those caches. Unfortunately, one of them that we tried was a big long puzzle description, and it got cut off in virtually everything except for going up and browsing the web. But fortunately, the city of Roseville actually did have Wi-Fi. So I'm Frog 2002 is able to jump up and check the description. We still couldn't figure it out. So we had to leave a DNF there as well.
Yeah.
But that was a great event because it did give us the opportunity to check into the event early for, you know, Geo Woodstock. So we checked in a day before. We got our kits. We got our coins. Got the T-shirts. You know, they had the store set up so we could go and buy any of the trinkets that we wanted to, the souvenirs to take home, and get that out of the way before the event. Plus, they gave us the information about their card run. And there were four permanent caches placed for that card run outside of the venue. So I think most of us that went to that Friday night meet and greet also went out to hit these card run caches before we actually got to Geo Woodstock, so that it meant we didn't have to, you know, take time away from our Geo Woodstock activities to go out and find those cards. Now, Steph and Dan, what events, if any, did you hit outside of Geo Woodstock itself?
Well, I actually did not get to go. I was in California, just south of Sacramento, but it was for my mother-in-law's birthday. We had a surprise party for her. So I totally missed all the events. And, you know, flew all the way from Virginia and that close. And I only hit one little geocache, and it was a nano one parked under a bench in a park. But the park was actually, you know, the geocache was only 200 feet away from my in-law's house. And he didn't even realize it was one so close. But,
well, that's always a good way to get him involved in caching.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him into it, but they still got to get a geocaching-type GPS instead of the car navigation-type GPS.
Yeah, that does tend to make it a little bit tough. Well, that explains why we didn't run into you at Geo Woodstock then.
I know it. I was Twittering and utters the whole way along and didn't get to do it. I actually spent Saturday in San Francisco instead, so I saw I Am Frog said he was going on Sunday, and so we just passed each other on the road, I'm sure.
That seems to always be the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Daryl, we also don't want to forget to our congratulations to Sunny and Sandy, who also planned to make the Geo Woodstock but didn't because of the adoption of their son. So congratulations to Sonny and Sandy on the adoption of their son, too.
Yeah, and Sonny's been very good about posting some pictures, so we've enjoyed watching little Sean grow even these first couple of days. And then getting back to Geo Woodstock, well, let's start by talking about the games, because we already mentioned the card run. They did have the Geo Poker, and that's kind of a standard of all these mega events now, it seems. And those are always fun to watch and participate in, even though I've not participated. Firefly had the chance to participate back at Midwest Geobash last year and had fun, even though she got kicked out fairly early. Second round, I'm being flashed with a couple of fingers. And then there were some other games, too. They had the Name That Cacher game, which was just a board with a bunch of photos, including Sunny and Sandy. Jeremy Irish was on there, a whole bunch of other people. I think like about 32-ish people on the board. They had a Geo Bingo, which was your kind of standard game where you had to run around and grab people that fit different categories. You know what? I should have saved those sheets. But it was things like has more than three GPSRs, traveled more than 1,000 miles,
so
has more
fit,
than...
You fit all of those categories then.
Yeah, yeah, there were. I was signing a few log sheets there, or bingo sheets. And they had a blind geocoin swap, which was kind of cool. I wouldn't necessarily really classify that as a game, though. But you went in, you had to deposit one unactivated coin, and then you could blindly reach in and grab one out. So, you know, random luck of the draw, and it was a lot of fun. Well, they had a letterbox search, so you know, if you're into letterboxing, they had a bunch of those stuck around the property. They had Geo Bunko and ammo campaigning for the kids. And there were a ton of activities for the kids. I have to say, I was really impressed with the number of good activities they had for the kids. You know, and the property itself had a bunch of playground activities. They had a train, so you could go for a ride on the train. I think that was like an extra $2.50 charge. But, you know, a lot of little fun things for the kids to do, including a petting farm. So that was... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, that sounds like a cool idea. I mean, no, you know, since I have two young kids, I think that that's something that they would love.
Yeah, really, I think that they picked an excellent venue. I really couldn't imagine any venue that would have fit better than this did. you know, I'm sure they exist, but, you know, really they hit a home run with this venue. You know, they had the trains, they had plenty of space for eating, they had concession stands, and we'll talk about the meals now, I guess, too, since we're right here. They had available for purchase things like pizza, nachos, and that kind of stuff for lunch. I think soft serve ice cream. They had some other vendors there. But it's, you know, these are concession stands that had been there for the pumpkin farm anyway. So, you know, they had all that resource that they could just utilize there without bringing anything special in. They had the big dinner, which was more of a catered buffet-style kind of thing. And that they had to divide up into two areas. So they had two different seatings in two different areas. So essentially they split everyone up into four groups. And that was, if anything went less than I would have hoped for, I'd have to say that the meal was probably the one thing that they didn't do as well as I had hoped. Everything else definitely exceeded my expectations. And the meals, you know, don't get me wrong, the meals were good. The food was great. We had plenty of people to talk to, and we had fun just doing that. It just didn't run as smoothly as some of the other things at the event. And they had a bunch of sessions, too. I didn't get a chance to hit any of the sessions, and I really wanted to. There were some good sessions. They had the one I really wanted to hit was a session by REI Outdoors on using the map and compass navigation for those of us who are used to GPS's normally. And then they had a bunch of other ones, including, you know, caching on your Mac, advanced users of GSAC, paperless showdown, which they kind of hyped up a bit even the night before, talking about which GPS's worked best and that kind of thing of the ones that they were testing. Now,
hey, Dale,
I
don't want to interrupt you. I want to interrupt you real quick. I see we had a caller from Delaware pop on to our call. If you have something, if you went to Geo Woodstock and you'd like to put something in here, go ahead and press *8 on your phone, and that'll put you in the request to talk queue, and we'll get you on the call. Sorry, go ahead, go back to Geo Woodstock.
Oh, no problem. I was going to ask I'm Frog 2002 if he had any events or sessions rather that he hit or anything that caught his eye from that list.
I did go to one of the sessions. I went to Caching on Your Mac, since you know that I'm a Mac geek, so. I was able to do that, and it was actually really good. I was surprised. It covered pretty much mostly Mac caching, but it went into another couple pieces of software, and they showed on both Tiger and Leopard, so it really made it to where it showed how you can cache on your Mac no matter which Mac you have. I was really impressed by the one session that I did get to go to.
Very nice. Yeah, that was one of the ones that I kind of wanted to hit, but you know, there just wasn't any time, because between talking with everyone that you ran into and trying to get out and hit those card caches and get some food in your stomach,
yeah.
You know, we just ran out of time real fast.
Yeah.
Well, and then they did have some other activities going on, too, like they had panning for gold. They actually had to cancel Soak the Reviewer because, you know, it's California. And we didn't even have 70 degrees that day. And it was kind of drizzly, so they figured it wasn't going to be the best day. Yeah, and I have to say, I was very disappointed, because the entire time we were in California, we didn't hit, I think 71 was our high, we didn't hit like 80 degrees. But, you know, we flew back home, and it's 85 degrees out here in Michigan. So, you know, we're out on the West Coast, sunny California, and, you know, a week before they had over 100 degrees, and they were afraid that people were going to be passing out from heat, and people were wearing jackets and whatever they could to stay warm.
Yeah, the weather was really weird.
Yeah, you can't count on the weather at all, and that was just really screwy. Yeah, they had a bunch of caches that they had placed out near the venue. That was a lot of fun. We actually checked into the venue. They didn't have everything up and running when we got in at, I want to say, like in 9 o'clock. Yeah, they really didn't schedule anything to start until closer to 10. So we just kind of walked the road back out toward town and hit four caches and met with a bunch of cashers, handed out a bunch of our mini coins. So we're actually out of our mini coins now. And that was nice, just, you know, get to chat quickly with the cashers on their way to the event.
Cool. Now, tell us a little bit about the Geocoin swap meet that was on Saturday.
Oh, this was very much like the one that we had done in Kendallville last year at the Midwest Geo Bash. And we had the good fortune that this year it was at our hotel. So we just had to walk up and down the stairs to get back to the room. And I was uploading photos and taking care of some of that kind of stuff and doing the rounds at a findery and bring back all the coins that she traded to the room so that she didn't have all the new coins sitting around loading her down so she could be more nimble. But it's crazy at these events because it is just a whole bunch of people jammed into one room, basically one rental room at the hotel, not, you know, conference room, not like a, you know, hotel room. And a lot of people bleed over into the lobby, but I don't know how many people were there. I'd say probably about 400, maybe even 500, and they just kind of come and go and check stuff out, make some trades and take off. But yeah, it's a nice, fun event, easy to get around. Now, I think that you ended up stopping by for a little while at that one. What was your take on the number of people there?
There were a lot of people. The one word that would describe that event is crazy, in my opinion, because it filled up the conference room and then the lobby and then outside, and then it was crazy. They were starting to get worried because of the fire code, from what I heard. There were too many people there.
And they had the doors open so that they could get some cross breeze because it got really stuffy in there really fast.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of how many people were in that room, all for geocoins.
Uh-huh. And I noticed Dree had a ton of them, so she's
entire collection and was trying to get rid of as many, or I shouldn't say her collection, her entire trader box, and she was trying to get rid of all of those coins and get all new coins by the time she came back. She certainly didn't reach that goal, but what'd you do, about a quarter of them? Yeah, she got rid of about a quarter of her traders and got a bunch of new coins in place. Yeah, and that's the problem with trading locally, too, is that everyone trades with each other, and all of a sudden you're out of people to trade with. So that's the great thing about mega event coin swaps like this. You can always find someone to trade with. And she ended up with probably, 50, 60 new coins?
Wow.
She's nodding her head. She was in heaven.
I figured she would be at Geocoin swap meet. I mean, with three, that's just heaven.
Oh, yeah. Now, I didn't have a chance to hit that Thanks for the Memory event. Were you able to go to that one?
Yeah, I was able to go to that one. It was interesting at best because, first of all, it was freezing cold. Everyone was shivering the whole time. By the time you got the food back to your table, it was cold, but it was still good. It was a blast because we were sitting there and all of a sudden we look over and the sprinklers start going, and they're hitting the tables where we're sitting. half the event scooted over, and it got really crowded on half of the tables that were there. So that was interesting. And then they also had a raffle, gave away a whole bunch of geocoins, and right in the middle of the raffle, the set of sprinklers decided to switch. And we were all standing in a circle. Well, there's a sprinkler right in the middle of that circle, and it started going. So that was hilarious because it hit about 20 people, got them soaked. Luckily, I was not one of them, so it made it even funnier.
Oh dear.
But,
I guess you can't predict the sprinklers either.
Nope. And fortunately, that one only went for about 10 seconds because just then a guy from the park saw that the sprinklers were going and turned them off because it was already kind of drizzly and raining. So, yeah.
In general, I do say that this was an excellent event. It far exceeded my expectations. Yeah,
that's what you said. I mean, in Twitter, you said that it was better than Geobash.
Yeah, well, it's a lot different event than GeoBash is, too. GeoBash, their philosophy is basically show up and things will happen. This one was planned very well. They put a ton of effort into it. They had some bands playing the entire time, a bunch of different acts. We had everything from pretty much a solo singer writing his own stuff to some cover bands. They did some geocaching versions of different songs. So, you know, they really put a lot of effort into it, and it showed. It was a really good event. How about you? What did you think of it, I'm Frog?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool event. They, with all the bands going and the organized activities, it was pretty fun. They had a huge vendor area, so you were able to get anything you needed for geocaching within about a 200 square foot area. You can get anything you'd ever want for geocaching. It was a blast.
Yeah, pretty much all of the major vendors that I could think of had some presence there. And Drita got to spend a lot more time hitting those booths than I did. I ended up getting way late in chatting with some people, so I didn't get a chance to do much. But there were a few things that if I had not had to take them back on the plane, I would have been, several bills lighter in the wallet.
Yeah.
Now,
well, Andy, do you want to tell us about what next year's event is going to be?
Yes, I would I would love to do that. Next year's Waypoint is already set up. It's going to be GC1C G5G. It's Bell Buckle, Tennessee, southwest of Nashville. It's going to be May 23rd in 2009, taking over the entire town. Word is that part of the venue will be on Monkey Brad's land, and Monkey Brad was interviewed on the Cache of Maniacs episode 55. So if you want to get a little bit of input on who Monkey Brad is, go to episode 55 of Cache of Maniacs. It's going to be about a 10-hour drive for Daryl to drive there, and it'll be about 9 for me. So we might actually have to make that one. I really hope we can.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm kind of hoping that maybe we could even do a live geocaching podcast.
I would love to do that, and it'd be great to have a live audience too. I realize everyone here is live, but live in the room with us, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, live in person, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
and Monkey Brad is really known for putting on some awesome events down there, so I'm anxious to check that out. And the waypoint for the event, by the way, is GC1CG5G, and that is up, it is posted, and they have photos of the town up there, so you can... Actually, I think it's just one photo, but you can kind of get a feel for what it's like, and I'm definitely going to be watching it.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching the event, and I want to also tell people that if you miss any of the waypoints that we talked about or any of the links, we do have our show notes can be found at geocachingpodcast.info, and so we'll put all that up there for you to take a look at and in case you missed them during the podcast. So... yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to a mega event, and our first one will be GeoBash this year. It's out near us, and no one's getting married that I know of that are my friends. So my friend is getting married like the week afterwards. That's actually why we're taking our road trip to Texas. We're leaving the day after GeoBash, so that ought to be good. So, I'm looking forward to doing the GeoBash, but hopefully next year Woodstock too. So join us next week, guys. We do our podcast live every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, and we're going to be talking next week about waypoint managers, everything from how to filter, there's lots of different ones, and we've covered a few of them on different podcasts, but we're going to try to get a good collection going, and we're going to talk about that. So if you've got any good input or you just want to know how to use a Waypoint Manager, come join us next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's on TalkShoe.com. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. And you can sign on to TalkShoe.com and find us there too. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. We also have a voicemail number that if you want to call in during the week, You can leave us a voicemail at 206-350-3GPS, and we love to hear from everybody and love to play on the show. So with that, go get them, have a great week, and see you on the trail.